Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It is a Thursday live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell, like only he can do, film only, looks at the Niners-Eagles matchup and the Chiefs-Bengals matchup. 1 hour from now, our NFL meat sandwich, Greg Cosell on a Thursday. J-Mac, we've set a date. Let's put that Seahawk logo on the side of your head. Very excited for that. What'd you do last night?
Played some soccer with my buddies. Yeah. Beat up on some guys. We're good. You know, we play together as a team.
I went to John and Vinny's with the fam and ate pizza and pasta and went to bed early.
Oh, that's a lovely night.
It's a great night.
Watched LeBron and the Lakers last night.
Little highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Spurs. Spurs are tanking. They're bad.
Spurs are tanking.
So let's start with this. We should all take injury seriously. Tua's concussions. That's the brain. Got to take it seriously. We said on this show, I wouldn't play him for the rest of the year. DeMar Hamlin, terrifying, right? We all sat there. I mean, we all had a pit in our stomach for days. That's dealing with the heart. So I understand we all want to be really cautious when discussing pro athletes and injuries, but is it possible because of those very serious injuries that we're overplaying Patrick Mahomes? Just think about this. Vegas odds, they're back to Kansas City's favor. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes was a, quote, full participant in practice. It was his ankle. He finished the game. He won the game. He had a passer rating over 100 with the ankle sprain. It's an ankle. Here's a headline I've never seen. 27-year-old world-class athlete sprains an ankle, plays through it, forced to retire. Tom Brady once had a gash in his throwing hand so severe, he had 12 stitches. Throwing hand, AFC title game against the Jags. He threw for almost 300 yards, 2 TDs, no picks, against the great Jags defense with Jalen Ramsey. That's your throwing hand. Remember the pictures? It was gross. It was a gash. And they sewed it up. Young athletes heal much faster than you and I. Young athletes, let's be honest, play through pain much greater than you and I. And young athletes have resources, not a bag of ice from the freezer when their ankle gets twisted. It should also be noted, high ankle sprains are not all the same. Grade one's mild. I think I had one of those in college. Grade two is painful. Grade three is different. That's severe. But not all ankle sprains are the exact. Mahomes was a full participant in practice. In 2019, just 4 years ago, Mahomes had a high ankle sprain. 7 days later, he threw for 443 yards and four touchdowns. I think he's going to be okay. I've seen three pieces of video. I don't even see a limp. I understand being cautious. We should always take all injuries seriously. And post Damar Hamlin and Tua, that stuff's frightening. When you see players wobble, heart, brain. But in this instance, here's what Andy Reid said comparing this high ankle sprain to the one in which he threw for almost five football fields a week later.
I think this one isn't quite as bad as that one, Sam. You know, so, but I mean, they're similar. Sore, but not quite the same.
So that one was worse. I'm just saying, I understand everybody taking caution, but I've now seen two pieces of video minimum, full practice player, odds back to being what the odds should be. I've got a feeling, J-Mac talked about it yesterday, we're talking about Mahomes at 90%. One of the things we have said on this show multiple times is that young athletes, if I hear 8 weeks, it's six. If I hear 5 weeks, it's 3 to 4. These are the best athletes with the best resources, 15 trainers hovering around him. Kansas City has always treated their players, current and former, better than almost anybody in the league. They have a legendary alumni system with the Chiefs, best in the league by far. So Patrick Mahomes is getting the kind of treatment. It's not what you and I get. My guess is all indications are he's going to be fine. Now, you cross your fingers, doesn't re-injure it. But I'm getting video. I'm hearing full practice. I'm hearing Andy Reid. I think people these days this is not 1988 NFL football where, you know, the NFL was denying CTE. It's not the way the league is anymore. Like, overwhelming, the league was like, Tua shouldn't play. The media said it, fans said it, players said it, doctors said it, Tua shouldn't play. And it's the right call. But I think this one, it feels like to me, it's a go. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he kept playing and was really good as he kept playing. My feeling is he'll be ready to go. You're going to get 90% or better. So I saw this story yesterday. You know, sometimes people will say things, and yeah, that's crazy. And you read into it, and you think about it, and you're like, oh, it's not that crazy. The other day I saw a headline, the core of the earth is now going to reverse course and spin backwards. I was like, whoa, lead story, that's kind of serious. And then I read the thing. I was like, no, it happens. Yeah, it happens like every 70 years. I had no idea that the core of the earth is going back and forth, and it's a foosball. I had no idea. But the headline was worse than the reality. I saw a story this morning, asteroid passing 2,200 miles above the earth. Closest call in years. And I thought, well, when you fly a plane at 33,000 feet, that's 6 miles and you can't see them. 2,200 miles seems like we're pretty safe here. We're not even going to have a backdraft or something. I think we're all going to be pretty safe. So the headline, Peter King, Brock Purdy over Dak Prescott, if I was starting a new team. Whoa. Think about this. I'm not sure everybody quite grasps what an expensive quarterback does to your team. Now think about this. Aaron Rodgers is great. Matt LaFleur is very good. The division's wonky. Their O-line rated top 5-6 in the league. But because of Aaron's cap hit, they didn't make the playoffs. Okay? If Dak was the quarterback of the Niners today, Deebo Samuel's new contract would not happen. He'd be playing somewhere else. And you could not sign Nick Bosa, the defensive player of the year, many presume, to a new deal. You'd have to move off George Kittle and probably Trent Williams. You would not have the same team. Kirk Cousins, the number 3 quarterback cap hit this year. The Vikings had the 31st ranked defense. They couldn't afford good defensive players. Ryan Tannehill was the number one cap hit. Now think about this. Tannehill's more than capable. Vrabel's a great coach. Defense was fantastic. Weak division. Excellent run game. Could not make the playoffs. So Dak Prescott's contract, starting next year, he is the number two cap hit in the league at quarterback. Forget the Zeke contract. At least Dak is good. Zeke's a short yardage back. Dak now is getting in the way of wins. Folks, they were 4-1 with Cooper Rush, and Dak's better than Cooper, but the gap wasn't Josh Allen to Colt McCoy. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes to Chad Henne. The gap is Dak's better than Cooper Rush, and Dak, I think, is better than Brock Purdy, but you watch the game. The gap wasn't that large. They're both mobile, but not Lamar Jackson. They both have solid arms. Neither is Justin Herbert or Mahomes. There is an argument the Cowboys' best year to win was this year. I think Brian Daboll is going to get Daniel Jones, probably another receiver, center, tight end, Giants probably, whether they make the playoffs or not, probably a more talented unit next year. I think that's reasonable to presume. This was the year to get the Giants. Philadelphia is not going anywhere. They're not paying Jalen Hurts yet. They're just getting more confident. And they have 17 players who are either Pro Bowlers or alternates. And Washington's going to get a new owner. There's lots of rumors who would be the coach. But regardless of who it is, they'll have more stability and probably go heavy for Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo. The Cowboys need to dip into that Salvation Army bucket on the sidelines for a loan. It's not as crazy as it sounds. Is that Dak Prescott now the number two cap hit in the league? Think about how bad the division mostly is in the AFC South, how good the defense is for the Titans, how good the coach is, how good the run game is. They couldn't make the playoffs. The Vikings' worst defense. Kirk Cousins, a top three cap hit. Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones. Iffy division. Great O-line. 8-9. So sometimes things sound outrageous, but when Peter King said that and you examine it, if Dak was the quarterback of the Niners today, Deebo Samuel's gone, and if you're signing Bosa, you got to move off George Kittle and probably one of your linebackers. You're suddenly not the same team. Kansas City, once they paid Mahomes, had to get rid of Tyreek Hill, who's a matchup nightmare, and Ward, the corner, who's now a Pro Bowl-level player for the Niners on the outside. It's not the craziest thing to say. It would be with a Herbert or a Mahomes or maybe a Jalen Hurts. When Hurts plays Brock Purdy this weekend, we may see a sizable gap in talent. That's certainly possible. That's different. I watched Dak and Purdy, and I didn't see it. Good arms, not great. Mobile, not spectacular. Accurate, mostly. Dak was less effective. All right, J-Mac, there we are. Now, you said yesterday your gut feeling was Mahomes was going to be... I went deep diving on this stuff this morning. Everything I'm finding is very positive for the Chiefs here.
I made the mistake, Colin, of Sunday night when the line came out, I saw Bengals at Pick'em. I grabbed it thinking Mahomes would not be healthy. And now Mahomes looks pretty damn good.
Well, and then, Andy Reid put his reputation on the line saying... Yeah. His ankle is better this time than in 2019.
Yeah.
And Mahomes was unbelievable 7 days later.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of buying out and going Chiefs. Do you think Andy Reid and Mahomes are going to lose to Burrow and Taylor four times in a row?
It does. I thought about that.
But I have a great stat. I was going to save it for later in the show. I'll give it to you now. In the last three meetings, Bengals-Chiefs, in the fourth quarter and overtime, the Bengals have outscored them 26-6.
Yep.
They have dominated late in games. Joe Burrow clutch, Ja'Marr Chase, this defense. It's going to be a great game. You don't have to bet every single game, right? You can find props. This is going to be a great game.
Yeah, I don't have a strong... I told you last week I hated my picks. It was my last Blazing Four. I don't have a strong feeling about either game. I think we have the four best teams. And I think what Burrow's done... And this is like hard to argue. One of the things that's always been so rare about Mahomes is you get play extension, you get greatness without a lot of mistakes. most great quarterbacks in my life, including Peyton Manning. You get picks, Favre, picks, Elway, picks. Mahomes is rare. You don't get the mistakes. Burrow's becoming that. Is that Joe had, in Joe's first year and a half to 2 years as a starter, you got a lot of picks. Joe has moved out of that. So where Josh Allen and Herbert, you still get more picks. So Burrow and Mahomes now have kind of reached a stratosphere. Aaron did this in his prime, where you got greatness with almost no mistakes. Even Brady had years, pick sixes in Super Bowls. So just a handful of guys in my life that have done this. Aaron Rodgers in his peak, Mahomes, and now Burrow's become that. If you go back to Burrow's first couple years, remember that game against Chicago? Could have been, was it last year or the year before? He had three picks. Boy, Joe's moved out of that. Joe doesn't have those games anymore.
The confidence just oozes. You remember how you said the Bills don't have an identity? The Bengals have an identity. It's okay. Joe Burrow's confidence and cockiness almost. Yeah.
And they also
lead that team.
Their run game and their pass game mesh very, very well.
Yeah.
And it really exposed Buffalo that feels like they're just calling plays. Chiefs aren't. Eagles aren't, by the way.
49ers have maybe the best play caller in the league, in some big games, he has kind of gotten a little tight.
You could say these four offenses left not only all have a strong identity, but their run and pass games complement each other. That's something we talked about, complained about, lamented about the Bills all year. They just call plays. Their run game doesn't complement their pass game. Their pass game doesn't and it's a defensive head coach.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums, but I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're now entering the no bull zone, sponsored by Credible. Great rates. None of the bull. So, I said, I think you were on the show, J-Mac, when I said this, but I'd said it about 6 months ago. I think in the summer you may not have been here. I said, if you were trying, Bill Belichick was furious when Robert Kraft forced him to trade Garoppolo. It was the first time Kraft made a personnel decision for Bill. Bill did not like it. That's been sourced. He was pissed. And I said, you know, Bill's got his money, his rings, his legacy. It's all set. And if you were trying to tank a franchise, you'd tick off the superstar quarterback like Brady. You'd hire assistant coaches who are completely in the positions you give them over their head. You'd put multiple kids on the staff. You'd draft the least talented quarterback available in the draft. You wouldn't move up. And by the way, you'd spend a fortune of the owner's money on free agency and really not get any great players. All of that's happened. Now, I don't believe Bill's trying to tank it, but we'll get to that in a second because I see a quote in a story that's got real journalism and real sourcing. So the Boston Herald, two of their reporters inside the building as the Bill O'Brien hiring happened yesterday, he's the new OC. It's the second time around. Bill likes to hire people now in his later years he's comfortable with. Doesn't want any new faces. So Andrew Callahan and Karen Gurigan, I think, came out and they have sources all over the building. And I'm going to give you multiple sources what they said this year was like. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it on the Patriots' dysfunction, said a source. It was disheveled. They were always scrambling to get things done. Does that sound like the best operation top to bottom in the league? A lot of guys were getting worried. He talks about the offense with Matt Patricia, a defensive coordinator. A lot of guys were getting worried because we were in the middle of camp. We were wondering what the plan was for our offense. We hadn't put the install in. We had a couple of protections, a couple of core run plays, but our pass game didn't have much in it. What? Mac did not like Joe Judge at all. Judge would speak loudly in meetings, extra loudly, trying to project like he was the man. That kind of rubbed people the wrong way. A lot of people frustrated with Joe Judge. Of course, he was put out of position as a coach. And finally, this goes back to my trying purposely to blow up the organization. Sometimes I would wonder, are we trying to screw this up on purpose? Now, I don't think Belichick holds a grudge, has that much animus that he's basically trying to, when he does retire here soon, hand him just a steaming pile of you-know-what. But it is interesting, and this is a memo to businesses. You can have a big brand. You can have great momentum. If you don't keep the best people, go ask Disney a month after Bob Iger left, or Microsoft a year after Steve Ballmer left, or Apple one earnings period after Steve Jobs left. They all had great products, great brands, industry momentum, and went into the crapper quickly. This is just a football team. The best offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia, leaves. Then Brady does. Then Nick Casario, Josh McDaniel, Dave Ziegler in the front office. Suddenly they're reaching for draft picks. Memo to business people. Pay your top people to stay. Apple, Microsoft, it doesn't matter. Patriots. This was the best run, smartest, most efficient, and leanest operation in the entire sport. Just say this out loud. Leaks in the building. It's like Trump's White House. We get a leak every week. Kids on the staff. Can't draft offense. Spend poorly in free agency. They have gone from the best organization to the Bears. They're dysfunctional. They're a non-playoff team. And Bill bringing back, again, somebody he's comfortable with and familiar with, Bill O'Brien. I do think Bill's so smart defensively in that division where I don't know who's quarterbacking Miami long-term, I don't know who's coaching the Jets long term, and I don't love the direction of the Bills. I think they have a chance to sneak into the playoffs. But this article by the Boston Herald is damning. Wow, is my thought after reading it. These quotes inside the building are, and what it shows you, for years nothing got out. It's the Patriot way. Now it's the Patriot why. For this stuff to leak out, I say this all the time, it's not just the story. Why is it leaking? It shows you the lack of respect and trust now in Belichick. J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
We'll start with Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's excited for the night game at Arrowhead Sunday. Now, Burrow's beaten Mahomes three straight, and Burrow was asked about what it's like to face Patrick Mahomes. Here's what he had to say.
We've been in these spots. We have the experience. We know what team we're playing. Team that's been to this game the last five seasons, and they've all been in that stadium. So, to me, they're still the team to beat, and we're coming for them. But we know it's going to be tough. We know it's going to be hard fought, and we know the kind of players that they have on that side.
Those games are interesting. The Chiefs have led all of them, two of them big, and the Bengals have dominated all of them late. So whatever that is, Andy Reid comes in, as he often does, with great plays designed. They jump out to a lead, double figures. But at the end of the game, the efficiency of Burrow. Also, it should be noted, we've been on this now for a year. The Bengals make as good adjustments defensively as any team in the league. Cincinnati's second half defense, I don't know where it ranks. It has to be top 10 in the league. It's fantastic. Yeah. They shut people down.
So last year in the second half and overtime, the DC, he would rush three and drop eight, confusing Mahomes in the secondary, and Mahomes, they couldn't really move the ball. However, with the Mahomes ankle injury, do you think Cincinnati will change it up? Do you think they're going to put some pressure on Mahomes early, test that ankle? We saw Hilton effective coming off the cornerback blitz against Josh Allen. He didn't know it was coming.
Yeah, the Chiefs' offensive line's pretty good, though.
It is.
Arguably the second best or first best center. Tony's probably the best guard.
Yep.
Solid at tackle. Kansas City's offensive line can handle pressure. So this is not the Bills' O-line, where outside of the center, it's suboptimal across the board.
Yeah.
It's a bad O-line.
Overrated.
And it was also in snowy weather.
Yeah.
So Brady had a video out fascinating last week. I should have seen it before I made my bets. That Brady said he loved playing in light snow as long as there wasn't wind, because edge rushers can't get their footing, either can corners. And he said linebackers tend to get to their places early and not try to move around because of sliding. He said playing in light, slippery snow is great for offense. It's pitch and catch. So now you're going to get cold, but you got a significantly better offensive line, a significantly better offensive adjusting coach in Andy Reid than Sean McDermott, and you're not going to have, I don't think, snow. So
yeah, I just looked at the weather report. High of 29, but that's with the sun out.
Yeah.
This game's at night, low of 11 degrees.
So it's going to be cold.
It's good. Do you remember that Chiefs-Patriots AFC title game? Incredible game. Gronk took over late over the middle. It's going to be that kind of weather where you can see the breath the whole game.
Yeah, Buffalo's line, edge rushers, couldn't get traction. If there's no snow, Kansas City, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, they're going to, not that they're edge, but they're going to get pressure. I think Burrow's going to face, probably, my guess, Burrow will face more pressure than Mahomes will.
Remember, he was sacked 9 times against the Titans, still won the game.
Yeah, they're still missing three offensive line starters.
This is true.
It didn't matter in the snow. I think it matters this week.
But now you've had 2 weeks to prepare for any kind of blitz.
But it's
I just don't know, Spagnuolo, is he going to leave like a rookie on the outside against Jamar Chase? We like the kid McDuffie. You leaving him one-on-one against Chase and blitzing?
Well, you can bracket stuff.
Chase had a 266-yard game against
the
secondary.
You always talk about reacting. I think we're downplaying the snow. It nullified Buffalo's rush.
Well, why didn't it nullify Cincinnati's rush? You know what they did? They decided.
Well, no, the difference. Buffalo's got a horrible O-line. The Chiefs don't. So what I'm saying is Cincinnati's always got a strong rush. The difference is Cincinnati's strong rush will now face a great offensive line. And, by the way, a better offensive scheme in Kansas City. I don't think the Bengals rush, even with Mahomes' injury, I don't think it'll be a storyline.
Hmm.
But I could see Chris Jones blowing up the Bengals' front. He blows up almost every front.
Could be interesting. Next up, got some sad news out of New York. The Jets are hiring former Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett.
Well, Aaron Rodgers likes
him, doesn't he?
Isn't that Aaron's guy?
Hackett is going to go to New York and... I don't know. I can't even read this. I'm so angry, Colin.
Why are you angry? I thought that's...
What do you mean, Nathaniel Hackett? Come on. Colin. So it's funny. Robert Saleh just spoke and he told the media, you got to be able to look past recency bias. You got to look past whatever you want to call Denver. It's obvious that he was terrible. They interviewed 15 guys and they landed on Nathaniel Hackett?
Well, he is friends with Aaron Rodgers.
So what? Denver hired Nathaniel Hackett thinking they're going to get Rodgers. Didn't quite work out. You got Russell Wilson and you won like, what, five games? They were terrible.
Well, there's a big difference between being a head coach and a coordinator. There's a lot of great coordinators in football. Oh. There are very few great coaches.
So Hackett's going to just go back to being a great coordinator after his entire life. Well, he was deep-pantsed in Denver, basically. He was awful.
As a head coach.
What? So he had no impact on the offense?
It's not the greatest hire. I'm not saying.
Okay.
I'm not.
You're being friendly and nice. Colin, think about this. Robert Saleh, they lost the final six games of the season. He knows his head's on the chopping block if they don't win. Yeah. So you know you've got to win. And this is the guy you hire? Nathaniel Hackett?
Well,
imagine, you had a decision to make. Who do you want to bring in on this show? Would you have just brought in somebody who got dumped by some other show? Like, are you bringing in some random, I don't know, you know?
Let me ask you this, though. Here's what I wonder. So who did the Jets get rid of? It was LaFleur.
Yeah.
Okay, so they fired him. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't he, now where is he going? There's rumors the Rams like him.
I don't know.
I could be wrong on this, but I believe, I mean, I trust, this is no shot at Robert Saleh, but I would trust offensively the Sean McVay's holistic view, worldview of offense over Robert Saleh.
Yeah, a little bit, just a little.
Okay, so... LaFleur gets canned by the Jets.
Yeah.
Do we know where he's... Okay.
Yeah.
If McVay hires him, that's telling you... Because the Jets couldn't get a touchdown the last five, six starts. McVay thinks LaFleur is really good.
Yeah. He thinks maybe there's something there. Now, that he does have a relationship with the LaFleurs.
Well, that's fine. You wouldn't hire a Steph. Not off the year you just had.
Saleh and Hackett worked together in Jacksonville when Blake Bortles. Every reporter's like, hey, Blake Bortles had a great year with Hackett on the offensive staff. Colin, there's no way to spin this positively.
Well,
like, this is one of those, why am I a Jets fan moments? I mean, seriously, I'm going to look it up during the break.
No, I had six.
How many other teams? We're down to, are we going to get Hackett? Can we get Hackett? How many other teams were looking at this guy?
Listen, I had 6 years of that with USC football, the Clay Helton years.
I
would sit and watch games and think, why am I wasting my Saturday night? What am I doing? It's the same story every week. Penalties, disorganized.
Maybe I'll tell my wife I'm going to be available on Sundays next year because I don't have to watch the Jets. It's Hackett.
Gotcha.
Final story. Damian Lillard, fourth career 60-point game last night, Cowherd. In a win over the Jazz, but it was the most efficient 60-point game in NBA history. 29 shots, and he scored 60 points. 10 free throw attempts, couldn't miss from three. Damian Lillard, after the game, having no idea it was a historic night.
It's the most efficient 60-point game ever, for real? That's crazy, because I ain't nothing. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, I had a shot at the end of the shot clock from... half court toward the end that I shot, it probably would have been a little bit better. I had a couple that I missed a free throw. Damn.
Well, if there's no Steph Curry ever in basketball, that's your best clutch
shooter. He's kind of overshadowed.
You know, he's a pretty amazing guy, so I know Dame a little bit. First of all, he's got a real music career. Like, he's really good at it. I could be wrong on this. I think he's got a hand in boxing. He's like an expert on boxing. He's one of the great offensive players. Like, he's got a really bright... He's also incredibly loyal to Weber State.
Yeah. They gave him a chance. Not a lot of people
did. And he goes back every year for the alumni game. Like, Portland got a real special guy.
He worked out at my gym a couple years ago in the summer. And you just watch the workout and you're like, this guy is an... He wants it all. Like, he's dripping, just soaked after the workout, trying so hard. I mean, this really is an underappreciated superstar.
Oh, college. Dame. And he's just a really... You know, we don't say this, so Westbrook gets so much more headlines.
Oh, please.
Dame's got... He's great in the half court. Yeah. Great full court.
Damian Lillard's had a better career than Westbrook.
No,
it's not even close. Come on.
Of course it's not close. 3 years ago, if you would have said that, you would get so much pushback.
Yeah. Like, Damian Lillard has been leading a franchise. Russell Westbrook's never led anybody anywhere.
Well, and
he had
people,
Kevin Durant with
and
him.
People that play, people that play with Dame love playing with Dame.
Yeah.
People leave Westbrook. Yeah. Westbrook's been on four teams in 5 years.
Yeah. There's a reason for that.
No, Dame was one of the hottest players on the market. LeBron wanted him. Everybody wanted him.
You almost wonder, you know, they're not looking good for the playoffs. If I'm Portland, like,
he
I know you
leave.
Want to keep him.
He won't leave.
You're not going anywhere.
Dame is, like, to me, it's not even an argument. Dame or Westbrook. I don't know. One can't shoot.
No, there's no discussion there. It's
I
not
know,
even close.
But
Westbrook's stat patter, you know. Come on.
There is on the internet.
People love Russell Westbrook.
I think
a better discussion is Damian Lillard or Kyrie Irving. Who would I rather have? For me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, Damian Lillard.
Yeah, he's a stand-up individual.
He shows
face
up
of a
to
franchise.
Games. He'll get the vaccine. Yeah.
Do you remember how Kyrie did when he was by himself in Cleveland with no LeBron?
No, he was
a bust. 27 games.
No, he was a bust.
Yeah, Damian Lillard's been to the conference finals when he's an alpha.
Yeah, Dame has been asked to carry a franchise for a decade. Kyrie was asked to carry Cleveland pre-LeBron. He was viewed as a bust.
Yeah.
He body fell apart. Wasn't a leader. Teammates didn't like him.
But he's got an elite layup package, Colin. Oh, gosh. Kyrie Irving just flies around
Dame's
the
basket. Dame's the most underrated player last 20 years in the league.
I think there's a great case for that. Outstanding talent. Just a guy you can root for. By the way, I do wear, when I play basketball, Damian Lillard sneakers. The most comfortable of any out there. For me, at least.
Yeah.
I know you care about that.
I know.
Deeply.
I get passionate about this because when you're in the Northwest, where I come from, people ignore your teams. And it's incredible to me. You're talking about if Steph Curry does not exist, it's the best late-game shooter in the sport for a decade.
I think he has two or three series-ending buzzer beaters, like where he beats you at the buzzer to knock you out of the playoffs. This guy's awesome. I'm a Damian Lillard fan.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd
and,
Line
and
News.
One of the things about Dame that there's a big difference between joining a team. You see it with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's a great player. It's hard to build around him. He's not verbal. He misses games. Kyrie Irving, huge talent. You can't build around him. Boston tried. Cleveland tried. He blew it up. That's why I always say about franchise quarterbacks. A lot of guys have talent. I want to know everything. I want to know their parents. I want to know, I'm always bothered when a college quarterback is not named captain. I'm out. You've got it. If your team doesn't view you as a captain, as a multiple year starter in college, watch out. That is a huge red flag. Gigantic flag. Steph Curry has the emotional discipline and the physical commitment and the intellect, you can build around Steph Curry. Damian Lillard, you can build around. There's a lot of talent in this league. Very few got Giannis. The physical gifts, the emotional gifts, the commitment, the lack of selfishness, the discipline emotionally. You can build around Giannis. There are about 9-10 guys in this league max I'd want to build around. There's 70 good players. But build around guys, it is. Same with franchise quarterbacks. I don't want high emotion. I don't want selfish. I don't want needy. I don't want, not into that. I don't want you to have multiple commercials before you've actually won a division. I'm not interested. Brady wouldn't do them for years. His first commercial with Visa, he wouldn't do it unless they put his offensive lineman in the commercial. Kind of a sign of what kind of guy and quarterback and franchise person he was going to be, right? Yeah. If everybody gets to join me at the Visa commercial table, then I'll bring my guy. That stuff is so underplayed. He's been carrying a franchise for years. He's had offers to leave, and it's like, nope, he's still loyal to Weber State, loyal to the Blazers, music career, guys special. Like, all-time special stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums, but I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday, it's the NFC Championship game presented by Intuit TurboTax as the 49ers take on the Eagles with a trip to Super Bowl 57 on the line. It all kicks off at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, with pregame coverage starting at 1 p.m. Eastern only on Fox and the Fox Sports.
You know, the thing that can't be undersold is that all four of these teams left not only have offensive coaches, because there's differences. I mean, the San Francisco roster is better than everybody's in the AFC. I would argue Philadelphia's roster, which has 8 Pro Bowl starters and 9 alternates, is better than both the Bengals and the Chiefs. The story in the NFC is rosters. The story in the AFC is star quarterbacks with good coaches. But the one thing that has to be at least discussed, all four of these offenses with offensive coaches all have an identity. Buffalo does not have an offensive identity. Defensive coach. Chargers don't have an offensive identity. Do you know the Chargers were one of the worst second half offenses in the league with Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler? Gerald Everett's a good tight end, good solid tight end. Like, there's, we have a real revolution going on in football. All of these teams left have an absolute offensive identity. I don't remember a football game when I saw a greater gap in a game plan on the offensive side than Buffalo-Cincinnati. It was stark. One team was just making crap up and throwing deep sideline balls in the snowstorm. So I saw this morning, 4 different stories If he plays, Brady's signing with the Raiders, according to a veteran AFC offensive coach. Lamar Jackson to the Falcons, according to an AFC exec. Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet or a Colt, according to a coordinator in the NFC. A coordinator, okay, from another team. Derek Carr will sign with the Texans, according to a veteran AFC coach. All right. First of all, Brady to the Raiders. You really think Tom's going to sign with the worst roster easily in that division? Lamar to the Falcons. Why would Baltimore trade him? They've already made him a $133 million guaranteed offer. Why are they going to trade him? He's good. Rodgers to the Jets. Really? Wonky ownership, 31st rated offensive line, a defensive coach that has to win or he's fired. Derek Carr with the Texans. Really? Derek Carr, who has a no-trade clause, he can say no to anything, is going to go to a crazy owner and a total rebuild. Come on. I don't know who wrote any of these stories. But sometimes, what would be easiest? If you're Aaron Rodgers, wouldn't it just be easier to go to the Packers and say, okay, I'll commit to the OTA with the draft picks. Bring the band back. Doesn't that feel easier? The Jets? Wonky ownership? Josh Allen, Belichick twice a year? McDaniel's offense? Bad O-line? Coach on the hot seat? Really? I mean, I think Aaron to the Titans, I've always thought that feels like it could work. And I love Vrabel. But Tannehill, they move off him. They're projected to be $24 million over the cap. If they moved off Tannehill, it would be messy with Aaron's contract. They have one legitimate wide receiver, and their O-line is bottom quarter of the league. Tom Brady, what's the easiest? Here's my guess today. Easiest will happen. Wouldn't it be easiest for Brady to call it a day, come to Fox, and make massive amounts of money? The published reports of his contract, although maybe all overstated, are massive. Wouldn't it just be easier to say, I had a great career. I don't want to go play for a third team. I'll go make some money, broadcast, be around my kids. Wouldn't it be easiest for Aaron Rodgers to just commit to one OTA with your draft picks and come back? He's a part owner of the Bucks. Does he really want to? Good old line, star back, likes his coach. Wouldn't it be easiest for the Ravens to just sign Lamar Jackson? They already offered him $133 million guaranteed. Now they're shipping him to the Falcons? And Derek Carr. I don't know, but he has a no-trade clause. He's never had a great defense. I think easiest, Brady retires. He goes to Tampa. Raiders get him out of the conference so they don't have to face him much. He gets Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Very nice offensive line, center, guard, tackle, right. Recent winning, playoff team, little momentum. Bruce Arians in the building. Finally have a decent defense. He hasn't had one in 7, 8, 9 years. Carr to the Bucs sounds easiest to me. Brady retiring to Fox. Aaron back to the Packers. And yes, the Ravens re-signing Lamar. Sometimes easiest happens a lot more than we want to admit. Hour two next in the Herd.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.